For all of us growing up, our younger years were filled with choices and decisions that were not always the bestest. Sometimes our words or actions, the way we treated people, the way we didn't treat people, we think back on these times and these situations and these scenarios, and we might be a little bit embarrassed of the things that we said, the things that we did, realizing how compassionate mom and dad were. Now, I remember at one point in my life talking about the principal of the school. We noticed that one of the brooms was missing from the janitor's closet that we needed. And I suggested that maybe sister used it to go someplace, because I knew she had a meeting after school. And that's probably the case. Not a good thing. Now, I remember also being much younger as well and overhearing a young woman talking about her weight. And I remember I made the comment, "You're not that fat." Not a good thing to say. I remained standing even after that as well. I remember rearranging the lawn ornaments with neighbors in our neighborhood as well. Food coloring in bird baths. Those were fun things. But after a while, to apologize, to put things back, to make amends, again, to apologize lots and lots of times. But we've all made these goofy decisions, some more serious than others. So a lot of times, things are just goofy. We make choices not only always based on what is right or true, but rather based on our desires, what we want, and our own selfishness and our self-interest as well. But eventually, we grow up. And along that way of growing up, we learn our lessons. And that's really the point of the gospel today, is that ability to learn our lessons, the ability to reflect upon our actions, our responses, and to say that this was not the best choice, this is not the best decision. I need to turn around, metanoia. I need to transform, convert, to change, and make a better decision based on goodness, based on obedience, humility, based on compassion and kindness. God, on his part, shows each and every one of us great patience and great love and great compassion. If you've ever owned a small child, about 3 or 4 years old, feeding time is always interesting, because as you're trying to give them their food, when they don't like things, a lot of times things are found on the floor. Applesauce is strewn all over the place, and strained beans and peas are found behind the floor. In our family, I remember when we got our new refrigerator in the kitchen, as we turned around, my parents couldn't believe how many vegetables were in between one cabinet and the refrigerator as well. How they got there, it's still a mystery for us. We still talk about that. But God is patient. God is like that mother or father who doesn't mind cleaning up the applesauce and the strained peas off the floor. God is very well aware that as he continues to pelt us with love and mercy, that we can change, that conversion and discipleship are possibilities. Because God knows very well, as God has made us in his image and likeness, God has made us sacred and holy. God has instilled in each and every one of us a desire for holiness, a hunger for holiness. And God recognizes and realizes that that holiness is there. So God is patient with us and continues to love us and continues to show us his goodness. God continues to show us his mercy, to guide us by his Son, the light of the world, into the ways of truth and goodness in our lives as well. Back in the middle of the 20th century, there was a German theologian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and in one of his writings entitled Christian Ethics, he focuses on our humanity's relationship with God. For Bonhoeffer, men and women are always at that crux, always at that crossroads of moving closer to God and godliness. And we understand and recognize that those good things that we perceive in the world are always our aim. As Aquinas says, that there are these three basic virtues of goodness and beauty and truth. And we recognize that. We know that in the depths of our heart. And at those moments of clarity, those moments of grace, the moments of blessing, we suddenly discover and uncover that's where our lives ought to be. And through the goodness of God, through his patience, through the passion that God holds out for each and every one of us, we have those aha moments that these are the things I ought to do. These are the ways that I ought to live my life. This is the way that my life needs to look. I need to be a person of godliness, a person of holiness, one who can be identified as a child of God by the way I live my life, by the way I respond to all the chaos and the crises and the questions and the ponderings in our world, the way I stand up against that which is evil and sinful. Because Jesus Christ realizes so well that there's potential and possibility in humanity as he walks amongst those who are the sinners, those who are the broken, those who are very much afraid. And he lifts us up out of our lowliness and restores us to that wholeness and dignity and right which is properly ours because God has created us in his image and likeness. We are called and challenged to recognize that God loves us. God does not love moral codes. God does not love ways of being according to certain commandments or demands, but rather God loves humanity. And Jesus Christ shows us that love by offering himself on the cross. We define ourselves and identify ourselves with moral goodness, with moral beauty, with moral truth. And in doing so, the more we seek out that which is good, the more we strive for perfection in our lives, by living holy lives, by that ongoing process of making amends, converting, challenging our lives to do better, suddenly we discover God. We discover that God has been there all the while. God's way is the way of righteousness. And we come to understand that we are shocked sometimes at the depths of God's mercy. Because for a lot of us, we think, well, God should have flicked me off the face of the earth a long time ago. But God is stubborn in his desire to possess each and every one of us. Jesus is the preeminent model for us, the way to perfection. And that's why Paul, in his beautiful letter today, talks about the fact that Jesus Christ does not deem equality with God something to be grasped at, but rather he humbles himself and takes our lowly condition and walks with us and walks amongst us, showing us the way of the kingdom by showing us the way to be healed, the way to be forgiven, the way to treat one another, the way to respond to God and to sin and evil, standing against what our own desires are, living always for obedience to God. Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane could very well say, well, these are not really the models or the parts that we agreed with God the Father, so I'm going to do something else. But rather, he takes upon himself that pain and suffering, allows himself to embrace the cross. And in doing so, as we are told from St. Paul, he is raised up and he becomes the source of eternal life for each and every one of us. Jesus is that perfect path and that perfect direction to God. And our lives are not about simply checking off rules and regulations. I did this today, I did that yesterday, tomorrow I need to do these things here in my moral dictionary. But rather, our whole life embraces the relationship that we have with God through Jesus Christ. We come to know God more and more by living with him, by living his way, by living his truth. And the more we live out this way of being, this lifestyle, if you will, that is overwhelmed by God's grace and mercy, the more we have those aha moments in our life. When I was at St. Ed's High School as principal and spiritual director, we had some of these religious women who are wonderful women, but in a lot of ways, they probably should have retired years before I got there and should be enjoying days on the beach someplace in Florida with a drink in one hand and, you know, maybe their torn up grade book in the other or something of that nature. You know, things that principals do after they retire. They go to Florida. And to be sure, these are wonderful people, but they're so overwhelmed with the restrictions or the requirements for the uniforms. I often thought what I wanted to get them was some Radio Shack, those little hats that have a light on it kind of thing. Because you walk down the hall and they have a student against the wall, not against the wall, but have pulled off to the side and be writing out a demerit kind of thing. You know, your shirt's not tucked in, no belt, your shoelaces are untied, whatever it might have been. And I always thought, well, yeah, that's nice, but can you come on one of our retreats with us? Can you share your vocation story with us? Can you help them understand where you find God in your lives? Because that's really what it's about, is not only having that relationship with God, but the ability to share what we have come to see and come to hear in our Lord Jesus Christ. Not only to recognize that we are members of God's family, but embracing members of God's family as well. Not only understanding that God is a God of love and mercy, but telling our own tales of conversion and discipleship and being able to forgive and be forgiven in our world today. And that way, then, we share in that light. We share in that pathway. We share in that goodness that God has bestowed in each and every one of us. Today, the prophet is taken aback. The Lord's way is unfair, he says. God offers us chances again and again to be converted and to repent. God is merciful, and that mercy is displayed throughout the Gospel of Matthew as the sinners and those who are outside the ways of the law are drawn back into that relationship through the passion and the love and the goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ as he shows us what it means to be obedient to the Father. In the parable today, we are told of about a father who has two sons. One says no to the father, but after reflection and consideration, after contemplation of those things that are good and true and beautiful, he recognizes that he needs to say yes to the father. The other son sort of makes this commitment. He says yes, but he doesn't do the father's will. And our choice, our challenge, if we are working in the vineyard, is to allow us to understand that we are broken. We make frump and nabob kinds of decisions. But our Lord always offers his hand to each and every one of us. He always extends his dignity, his wholeness, his holiness. He always offers us the opportunity to convert, to transform, to live. We see that possibility in Jesus Christ. It is his example of love and care, passion for all men and women that guides us along the way. So if we are that son or daughter who's saying no to the Father, we can still change our ways. We can still enter into a relationship of love and reconciliation and know that we turn back to the Father, who is the source of all love. That's the way of conversion and discipleship, and that's our way. It involves the cross, it involves the love of God, it involves one another as we're trying Jesus' way that leads to eternal life.